Our scripture reading for tonight is in Luke's Gospel in the second chapter, and we are going to read verses 1 through 20. Tonight I am reading in the King James Version from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Listen to this. This is the Word of God. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord shone, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." And that is the reading of the Word of God. And so here is the proclamation that was made by the angel: unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What did the angel mean when the title Savior was given to Jesus the Christ? You know, we've got all kinds of ideas that come into our minds. People have different expectations. People have a list of things that they would like to be delivered from, rescued from, maybe even saved from. But Luke tells us what he means by Savior. He has given us background for this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, has already used this language. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, has already used this language. We could say this tonight. Mary tells us that it is God who saves. I said, Mary tells us God saves. And if the angel says, to you is born a Savior, the angel is saying, it is Christ the Lord. This one in the manger is God. Mary's the one who gives us that background. From Zacharias, we learn something else. We will learn what salvation is. So we'll put aside what our expectations may be, and we'll listen. What is it the Scripture tells us this Son of God is going to do? First, Mary's proclamation. I say she tells us that it is God who saves. This is what Mary said in the Magnificat, in this wonderful song that she sings. It's in the first chapter. It's in verse 47. It's very simple. Mary said, "My soul, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Now we go back into the Old Testament a little bit and we see that, well, in the days of the judges, there were men who were called saviors. Remember the days of the judges. This is after Moses is gone. This is after Joshua has died. The people sin against God. They find themselves oppressed by the Midians, the Philistines, and all kinds of people. So you got a human being here, just like any other human being. And God raises up this human being to be a judge, to be, he says, a savior of the people. Now, usually what happens is the Spirit of God comes down upon this ordinary man. And in many occasions, not a very nice man. And the Holy Spirit comes down upon this one and empowers this one to do extraordinary things. Samson would be an example of that. Not only can kill a lion, he can kill 1,000 men. Ordinary man, but empowered by the Spirit of God upon him. Those were the judges. They were saviors. But the problem that Israel had was Israel was under the Philistines and under the Midians and under the Moabites and all these other people because of their sin. Now you can take care of the Philistines. God can easily come down and use a human being to take care of the Philistines. You want to have somebody empowered so they can kill 1,000 men? I can put my spirit on somebody and he will be so strong. He can kill 1,000 men and lead you into victory. Any man with the Spirit of God upon him will be invincible against the physical enemies. But what do you do when you haven't solved the problem that got you there in the first place? What is going to take care of the problem in the human heart? Where can we find someone who will be a savior of the human heart? The history of Israel progresses and you find out there is no one that can save. And so this is what God declares in the prophets, particularly in Isaiah. He declares that a time is coming, I'm not going to use these human beings anymore. The problem is not with the Assyrians. It's not with the Babylonians. The problem is down here, and nobody can save but me. And here is the declaration that Isaiah gives us as God is speaking through him. He says this, "I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I, the Lord, I save. And there is no Savior besides me. I looked and there was no one to help. I myself put on my battle garb and I bring salvation." Or as we read in chapter 9 of Isaiah, "For to you a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The days have come to an end now, where a Savior will simply be some human being that God is going to use through his Holy Spirit. Now God himself is going to come in the flesh." This is what the angel is saying. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There is no other way to understand this. It is the angel of the Lord. It is Christ the Lord. It's God. if Jesus is Savior, then according to Mary, Jesus is God. So we learn from Mary, God saves. From Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, we learn what this salvation is. Zacharias also is a singer. He also sings praises to God, also in the first chapter of Luke. Around verses 73 to 77, Zacharias will tell us that this salvation that God is preparing to accomplish by himself in our behalf has two ingredients. Two ingredients to solve one central problem, and the problem is sin. But I say it has two ingredients. One is the forgiveness of sins. A Savior is somebody who is going to bring about forgiveness of sins. And so Zacharias, this father of John the Baptist, he says that John the Baptist is going to introduce Jesus to Judah. And the father also says this, and he will bring a knowledge of salvation to the people by the forgiveness of their sins. And throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus is the one who is forgiving sins. He is outraging the Pharisees and the scribes because he is pronouncing that somebody's sins are forgiven. You remember those accounts. Who can forgive sins but God? And Jesus is going around forgiving sins. The message that he sends out to all the nations, repentance in his name for the forgiveness of sins. You know what forgiveness is? It comes from the word that means send it away. Leave it behind. When you find the fishermen mending their nets, they get up and they leave their nets behind and they follow Jesus. Same word. That's what forgiveness is. Leave it behind. God has arranged in Jesus Christ to leave all of your sins behind, so that they will never be brought up again in his presence. He saves from what we call the guilt of sin. That's what he is, as a Savior. He's going to do that in the cross. He's going to do it in the resurrection to bring the forgiveness of sins. But there's another ingredient. Zacharias mentions the other ingredient, and it is this: holiness. What was the problem? The problem was, we're supposed to be a holy people before God. We sin against God, so God brings and saves us from our sin against him through forgiveness, but then he gets us back to the holiness. There is no such thing as the forgiveness of sins, which isn't unto the new life of transformation in Christ Jesus. He's saving not just from the guilt, but he saves from the power of sin. This is what Zacharias says. Not only will there be the knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of sins, it'll be this: he will rescue us. There's the language of deliverance, the language of salvation. Rescue us so that we might serve him without fear in holiness and in righteousness. See, Israel is taken out of bondage in Egypt. What for? Taken out of bondage to serve God. There are the two ingredients. Luke is preparing us for this. Forgiveness and holiness. Now, what you and I need to know tonight, we need to remember, refresh our memories, these are the two ingredients that the Old Testament said formed the new covenant which God was promising to fulfill in his people. Unto you is born this day a Savior from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin, in fulfillment of the new covenant which was promised. Now, what did we think he was going to bring us? What did you think he was going to bring us for Christmas? What were we expecting? Is he going to save us from particular administrations of power? Is he going to save us from particular diseases? Is he going to save us from our our weakness, our physical weakness, and our mental lapses? Is that what he's... Will your life be just fine if he would just save us in those areas? His answer is no, and I have made no promise to do so this side of the resurrection, our God would say. This is what I've promised. A new covenant. A new covenant with the forgiveness of sins and with the ability to serve me in holiness. Friends, this is the gift. This is the promise. And this fits everybody. And you can take it wherever you're going. You can take it to the hospital. You can take it into the courtroom. You can take it into the marriage ceremony. You can take it to the cemetery. This is the heart of the promise of God, the new covenant. This is what the Savior has come to accomplish. Now, you remember this language from the Old Testament. This is the language of Jeremiah. He puts it this way. I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. What's he talking about? He's talking about holiness. Ezekiel put it this way. I will put my spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. We refer to this as our sanctification. This is part of his salvation from sin. But the other ingredient is this. And I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. We call that justification. That's an essential ingredient in justification. So when the angel is saying, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the angel is saying, the new covenant is being fulfilled, the deliverance from sin is going to be accomplished, and it is guaranteed. Now, I wonder if we've heard this. I wonder if I have to say this to my heart again. The promises of God are not limited to these two ingredients. You remember the Apostle Paul would say, how shall he not together with him freely give us all things? Yes, all things will overflow to the people of God. But the promise right now is clarified in these two essential ingredients of forgiveness unto holiness. So I can put it this way. This is the foundation of our prayers. What have we been praying for? You know, what we're praying for, our presence. What we're praying for are different forms of salvation. Get our brothers and sisters out of this salvation. Save them from that. Deliver them from that. We have the right to ask this. He's invited us to do that. Is there a promise that he will do that? No. This is what the promise is. Does this one understand the forgiveness of sins? Do you think God is still holding a grudge against you? Your heart needs to hear this again and again. The Savior has wrought the forgiveness of sins. He answers, he promises to answer that and give assurance to your heart. If you ask, if you seek, if you knock, he's promised it. Holiness. Am I praying for, I want that girl. I want that job. I would like to be healthier. I would like to have the recognition that I deserve. I would like to have certain things which I call needs being met. Has he given promises to you about those particular things? No, he hasn't. But he has clearly said this. The Savior has come to fulfill the new covenant that we might serve him in holiness and in righteousness all the days of our lives. So while you're talking to God about that girl,
Know this, he has promised to bless you with the Holy Spirit that conforms you to the likeness of his Son, whether you have that girl or not, whether you have that job or not, whether you get out of that hospital bed or not. This is what Christmas is about. It's about the ultimate presents that come from God. It's about the salvation that his Son has secured for us. He has given us the guarantees now, as he is the Savior, to come to him for forgiveness and for holiness. And then when we rest in the certainty that he will answer these things, then let us with joy seek his will, whether or not he's going to bless us with that girl and with that job and with that health, knowing that he'll take us into all those paths with the promise of Christmas before us. Savior is born to deal with the guilt and the power of sin. And that will sustain us in all things. That's what Christmas is about. And I say, because that's what Christmas is about, that's why we call it good news. Now, do you believe that? Oh, amen. Good. Let's believe this together. And now, our Father God, it is with assurance that we say now to you, Lord, forgive us our transgressions against you. You have promised us, you have said, if we will confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we come to the table of the Lord's Supper tonight, we want to come as those who are seeking the forgiveness of sins and know it because of the promise of God. When we come to this supper, we want to be renewed in strength. Do we not have your promise? We shall be conformed to the likeness of your Son. You will bear the fruit of holiness in us. We lay claims to these promises now. We believe them tonight. Watch over our hearts in the days to come. And may we intercede for our brothers and sisters and for our own hearts in terms of the covenant promises guaranteed to us because the Savior has come. This is what we pray. And we dare to pray this with confidence because we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen.